God still calls people. The call of God. Let's go to John chapter 6 tonight. John chapter 6. We're going to go over to verse 41 towards the end of the chapter. Well, middle, it's a big chapter. I remember years ago in teens, we used to read portions of the Bible before teen service. And I believe it was Jay Kopacheski chose to read the book of John. And man, these chapters, 80-something verses, half the time we had for teens, was Jay reading the chapter. Man. But there's good stuff in the book of John. Chapter 6, verse number 41. Of course, Jesus is teaching, and we have some of the Jews gathered around listening to his teaching. We're not going to read the whole context, but it says in verse 41, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, 'I am the bread which came down from heaven.'" This is one of the famous I ams in Scripture where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." And as he goes through the message, this is what they say. And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph?" Well, they had that half right. Amen. "Whose father and mother we know. How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's pray before we go any further. Lord, I do thank you. Lord, what a blessing to hear. Lord, there's another sinner that's saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord, I do pray that you would help us now as we spend some time in your word. Lord, help us as some who are believers. There might be someone here lost. There might be someone here who's cold. There might be someone here who's bitter. Lord, help us all respond to your call. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's read the verse again. Verse number 44. It says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Amen. That phrase tells us that people come to Christ when God calls them. You say, whoa, that sounds a little scary. Amen. That sounds like a thing called Calvinism, right? Where you don't have a choice in whether or not you get saved. God is going to pick. Marianne's going to get saved. Sorry, Sophie. You're not lucky enough to get the irresistible grace of God. No, but that's not what he says. If we go back a little bit, we can read verse 39. "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that" who? "Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." God's will, like it tells us later in the Bible, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. God's not looking just to pick a select few from the earth and save them. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. And the whole world can be saved. But God does draw men. The Scripture teaches us in Psalms and in Romans chapter 1, where it says the invisible things of the world are clearly understood by the things which are made. The first way God draws men is simply by his creation. Psalms tells us that even the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. God, by simply putting you here on the earth and showing you his creation, has already started to draw you to him. And then you have to respond to that. And he uses conviction of sin to draw some men. He'll use problems, difficulties, trials in your life so that you start thinking of eternity to draw men to him. And once you start, you have a decision to make. All along the way, you have to continue to respond to Christ drawing you. Amen? It's not that one day God said, "I'm going to call Roger, and I'm going to pull him so hard he can't resist, and he's going to get saved." No, God gives us the choice. Amen? He gives us the ability to respond to that call or not. I have something down here. How many of you know, how many of you are fishers? How many of you like to fish? Man, I am a master fisher. How many of you know that about me? Brother McDowell, your face does not look convinced. I talk about it all the time. All the time I'm talking about going fishing. I asked my dad to bring my pole in tonight because I didn't get a chance to go home. So I got it here. Amen. This is probably the last time I fished. It might have been with this pole. Amen. But as a master fisher that I am, You could get a little, Brother Faulkner could probably tell you more about this, but he learned it from me. You could feel a little twinge, and that's the fish just starting to get a little nibble. And what do? You give it a sharp little jerk, and you could catch the hook in the fish and draw it in. You reel it in. Amen? That's what happens when we fish. And God uses the creation. God uses conviction of sin. God uses the Holy Spirit, which begins to help us spiritually discern the things that we cannot understand in the flesh. Amen? The Bible says that to the natural man, the things of God are foolishness. God has to begin to open up our eyes to see these things. And all along the way, what happens if you catch a nice big fish? I mean, you could just lean back, relax, and gently just... They fight. All along the way, they are fighting and fighting and fighting. I was reading, because I get Fishing Magazine, I think that's a thing, and about a lady named Donna. And Donna was in New Zealand fishing. And she got a bite on the line. They had one of those big poles, you know, where they just kind of sit in the holders on the boat until you get a bite, and then you grab that one and you start fighting. And she didn't know what she had, but she started trying to reel. And she said the line started going out like it was a freight train going the other way. And I picture in my head, of course, it's smoking and it's grinding and the whole boat's just starting to slow down because it's getting pulled so far back. I don't know if any of that happened. But she had a bite. She grabs the pole and she starts trying to reel it in. She can't yet. The fish is pulling too hard. It'll break the line. So she has to wait, and she has to wait, and little by little, she's reeling in the fish. Brother Garrett, the squeak's back. I think it might just be me. Man. She's reeling in the fish little by little. It took her 4 hours to get the fish to come in. And the story, it says it was 36 knot winds, 36 knots. If you were a fisher like me, you'd understand that's about 41 miles an hour, give or take a little bit. That's how strong the wind was blowing. That's pretty strong out on the ocean. She's covered with the waves are splashing against her. She finally gets it in. It's an over 900-pound tuna. Almost 9 feet tall. That is a big fish. They say it would make over 3,100 cans of tuna fish. Woo! But it was a battle. God calls sinners. God calls Christians. And when God calls, I want to ask you tonight, are you fighting against it? Does it take the 4-hour battle? I remember we'd go up to retreat. I mean, you stand at the dock, you hit the little thing with the sinker, and this isn't quite heavy enough. No, it's not going to work for me. It just drops right in the water, and you just wait for it. You can see the fish, and then, ooh, I got one! And you pick it up, it's about this big, amen? And we were so excited as kids. I want it to be like that with me and God. God just starts to pull at my heart a little bit, and I'm just, all right, God, let's go. Take me where you want to take me. But I can say it's not always that way in my life. There's times that I fight. There's times I resist. There's times that I believe God has to show His mercy and His long-suffering with me. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I believe throughout the Gospels we can see how different people respond when God calls them. When the Word of God is preached, when Jesus is doing miracles, when He's teaching in parables, when He's just straight out preaching, people respond differently. In Mark chapter 1, there's a lot that happens in this chapter, amen. Mark is a very concise view of the ministry of Christ. Let's jump down to verse 39. And He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, speaking of Jesus, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, and kneeling down to Him, and saying unto Him, If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. So who do we have here? We have Jesus and the man who needs help. That man is a leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. We can imagine a sinner coming to Christ, asking for healing. Verse 41, And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as He had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. What a blessing here to read this passage and see that Jesus heals, that Jesus can help. And it's important there, as leprosy is a type of sin, it's also known to be a very contagious disease. And what does it say Jesus did with his hand? He reached out and he touched him. He knew what was... Jesus obviously knows as God in the flesh that he's not going to catch leprosy. But this man had been... It doesn't say how long in this one. I don't believe it does. He had been a leper, and people stayed away. People would throw rocks. They had to holler out, unclean, unclean. Nobody came near the lepers. But Jesus did. And he reached out, and he touched this man. And that's just one of the miracles here. We'll come back to it in a second. This chapter is full of them. And because of that, when Jesus went anywhere, there was a crowd with him always. Look at verse number 28. Verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all regions round about Galilee. Verse 33, and all the city was gathered together at the door. Verse 37, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Verse 45, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Chapter number 2 starts off with the famous story of the four men who let down the man sick of the palsy in the bed, and he can't even get into the house because the whole town has come out to see him. So anywhere Jesus went when he started doing miracles, a huge crowd was there. And they all responded a little different. There were some people there, I don't believe everyone that came needed something. There's probably people there who were just curious. They just heard, Jesus is here. Is that the Jesus I heard about last week who did cast out that devil? Yeah, he's walking towards town. All right, let's leave this. Let's go see Jesus. They weren't sick. They didn't have a devil. They didn't have leprosy. They just wanted to see what was going on. Maybe he's going to do something. Have you ever seen a blind man see? I've never seen a blind man healed. Have you seen a blind man healed? Let's go see Jesus. Maybe he's going to heal somebody today. Hey, I heard how he gave out food. I mean, he just had a little bit. He just kept giving and kept giving and kept giving until everybody was full. Maybe he's going to do that today. Let's go see what Jesus is going to do. And there are some people who come to church because they're just a little bit curious. Maybe to get Brother Rice off their back from inviting them all the time. What's going on at that church? Why do you keep giving me tracts? Maybe it's a door hanger they found on their door. I saw this on my door here. What is this church? Why do I have this here? Let's go see what's happening. There's people who come to Christ because they're just curious. They don't know what's going on. Maybe they came as a child. Their parents took them. And they haven't been in 20, 30, 40 years. We in Mexico, we ran into lots of people who used to go as children to the Catholic Church. And they still call themselves Catholic because everyone's Catholic. But they hadn't been to church since they were adults, basically. And they don't, in their mind, they still picture Mass and speak, they still did the things in Latin in Mexico for a really long time, the Masses in Latin, and they had no idea what was going on, and in their mind that was church, and we're inviting them to say, no, we want to show you what the Word of God says. Here's a Bible for you. And they're, whoa, what is this? I got to see what's going on. And people sometimes are just curious about what's happening, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's people come just because they're invited, just because they want to see what's happening, just because they heard something interesting, just because they're not sure. Have you ever had someone at work or a family member come up to you and say, why do you do that? Why won't you do this? I'm struggling with this family situation now. What would you do? Can you pray for... And they don't understand it all. But they're a little curious. That's like that first little nibble on my massive fishing pole. I love fishing with bobbers, as all professional fishers do. Man, you know. Why? Because you can just sit there, relax, and just keep your eye on something. And every once in a while, you'll see the little bobber just go, boop. Ooh, what was that? And it perks your attention, and you're waiting for another one. Sometimes that's just that little spark of curiosity. This is the first time the Lord's... could be the first time in 20, 30, 50 years that person has felt any inclination to do anything related to God. They're curious. And they want to see what's going on. And God calls the curious. Who else does he call? This is the stretch. I wanted them all to start with C's. I got to the fourth page on the encyclopedia before I came up with this one. contemptible. Amen. He calls the contemptible. As we read those verses about all who come out and we look at this chapter, we see so many people who are possessed with devils, people who are sick, people who are in need, people who are the outcasts of society. Jesus was rebuked all the time because he went with the publicans and with the sinners. Jesus went to people who had needs, people who didn't have the answers for what was happening in their life. As we read, and let's go to back to, hold your finger here in Mark, let's go back to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, we started reading here, Jesus talking about the bread of life. In verse number 26, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." What need did they have? They were just hungry. But we have needs. There's people that have financial needs. They're going through a hard time. They don't know what to do. So they'll come to God. There's people who come to ministries like RU. I remember I was talking with a man in Mexico, and he was an alcoholic, and he knew that it was taking over his life. He knew that he was ruining his family, but he didn't know what to do. He wanted help from what? From drinking. He didn't understand about sin. He didn't understand that salvation is more than just, I want to stop being an alcoholic. But he came to Christ because of something. There's people, when they hear news, there's a medical crisis. Where do I go? What do I do? They're lost. They don't know what to do. They're lost spiritually and they're lost physically. And they might come to Christ. There's people, when they have marriage issues. Well, why don't we try the pastor? Why don't we try the church? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with coming to Christ because you're curious. There's nothing wrong with coming to Christ because you have a need. But it's got to grow past that. Let's go back to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Jesus wants to meet our needs. Amen? Jesus came and he preached to the needy. Jesus healed these people. Jesus did do the miracles of the loaves and the fishes. Jesus did save the lame, heal the lame man. Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus wanted to help with their physical needs. Mark chapter 2, verse number 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son," what does he say? Let's read it together. "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Verse number 9. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," or to say, "Arise and take up thy bed and walk." But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to do what? Forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed. Jesus saw the physical need and he healed the man. But what did he want to do too? He wanted to forgive his sin. Because Jesus can see the true need that we have, amen? There is physical needs. But make sure when Jesus is calling, that we come to him to take care of our spiritual need. I like how this leper comes to Christ. Let's go back to verse number 40, Mark 1, 40. "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This was a man who had nowhere else to go. So he came to Christ. He came beseeching him. What does that mean, to beseech? To beg, to plead, to earn with earnesty, with sincerity. He beseeched him. What else did he do? And kneeling down to him, he was humble. He came on his knees. He knew that I have nothing, I can't help, but Lord, you can help. He says, "If thou wilt." He recognized Jesus has the power here. We make a great mistake in our lives when we have needs and we think, "Oh, I'll take care of it. Oh, I can handle this." And in Mexico, we had a saying, it was, "Hermano fulano, It's brother fulano, so-and-so. Or amada fulano. It was the rich, always they joked about the rich uncle. Everyone has a tio rico, who's kind of in, and that's what church people would want to do. We have a financial problem. Ooh, everyone says, I have that rich uncle, who they can help me. I have so-and-so who can help me. And we forget so often that God's the one who can help us, and God's the one who wants to help us. How many of you have got that phone call? Brother Russo, I'm moving. I could use a truck. You got a truck, right? Oh, the piano's only on the third floor. We had to help the Bryans. Well, actually, you guys helped us. Remember the mission trip to Mexico many years ago? When you helped us move into our new house, some of you were there. A lot of you helped paint the house. It meant on the inside, we got that all nice. It was destroyed within 6 months because of water damage. But it looked nice. It meant for a little while. And Melanie, we came back with a stove from here. And we drove it back down to Mexico. And that thing, I don't know if there was lead walls in it or what it was. I couldn't even barely lift it. Just the corner. To get the corner up to slide it. We would have sometimes rats in the house and stuff like that. And they get behind there. And honey, I dropped something behind the stove. Ah, forget it. It's gone. Buy another one. You're not getting that back. Amen? And we offered it to the Bryans. We're like, his wife wanted a because it was a double stove. They got the children's home. They can cook lots of pizzas and stuff at the same time. And he said, Pastor Bryan says, I said, we'll give it to you. You can have it. There's our gift. He said, no thanks. What? You don't want the stove? He's like, no way. That's making it up the steps. In his house. It wasn't going to happen. And we get those physical needs. And there's many of us who want to say, well, I guess I'm not going to. And you complain to your wife as soon as you hang up when you're talking to me on the phone. Oh, sure, brother. I'd love to help you. I'll be there. Yeah. Click. Who is that? Brother Roy's moving and he wants help and I got to go. And I wish I could. Are we doing anything? I was just joking with Brother Buck. I got a dentist. My tooth's just starting to hurt right now. I got a dentist appointment. I know I'm going to have it. I can't come. God is never that way. We're not trying to con God. I hate it when people say, can I help? Can you help me with something? Or, what are you doing tomorrow? I like, hey, I'm moving tomorrow. Can you help? Because I don't want to say, nothing, but I'm busy, maybe. What are you going to ask me? God's never that way. He's waiting for you to say, Lord, I have this need. Lord, I'm beseeching you. Lord, I'm on my knees. Lord, I know you have the power. You're the only one that can do it. Lord, help me. God is waiting for those people to come to him. And he wants to help us. And we're already on to the last group. Well, sorry. We have two more. We have the critical. The curious, the contemptible, and the critical. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 2, verse number 7. 2, verse 7. Oh, let's read verse 6, too. Jesus says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? They were right. They didn't realize that Jesus was God, amen, and he could forgive sin. When we're reading in John chapter 6, the group's there again. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. And you know the stories time after time after time. There's always people there. Why was this waste of the ointment made? The lawyer came tempting Jesus. Always Jesus saw the indignation in their hearts. Always people there that were critical. Some people came to Jesus because they wanted to see what was happening. Some people came to Jesus because they had a need. Some people came to Jesus because they just wanted to say, I don't know about that. That's not the way I would do it. Can he really say that? The whole ministry of Jesus, from the very beginning, there's people looking to find fault. There was people looking to criticize Jesus and take down his message. Say, how does somebody get to that point? You know what, Christian? That could happen to you and me. Because after we're a little curious, we want to see what's going on, and we find out Jesus can meet our needs, and we respond to His calling and we say, yes, Lord, help me, I need You. Whether it's to take care of a physical need and Jesus helps us, or He might even save our soul from hell. And we get excited for a little bit. Amen, glory to God, I'm saved. But if you stay there, in that spot, oh, Jesus gave me victory over that health issue I had. Jesus helped my marriage. Jesus saved my soul. And that's the extent of your relationship with God. It's very easy to then go on to be part of the critical group. And just start to find fault with what's going on. Just to look at how others are coming in, how others are responding. That's not the way it happened to me. I don't know if they're really saved. Man, they shouldn't do that. Man, the pastor, you hear that message, the pastor said, and I don't know. You can sit in church. You can be here. You might love God. I believe the Pharisees loved God. But all they could find in their hearts to do, and I like how it says that in Mark. I'm going to go back there and read it again. I went over to John. Give me one second. In Mark chapter 2, where it says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Now we would say today, reasoning in their heads. But I believe the Bible said hearts on purpose. Amen? Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The heart is what steers the head. And these men, although they said they loved God, although they dedicated their life to the service of God, when God's moving among them, how could they? Fault after fault after fault, criticize, tear down, rip apart, destroy. And I believe that can happen to a Christian when their heart just gets far from God. Because God helped you with something, but that's where it stopped. And now every day that builds on top of that, and every moment that's further away from that event, the day you got saved, or the day you got victory over a trial in your life, or the day God solved this problem for you, every day that gets further from there, that event gets a little further away in your life. The emotion of that day is one day older. The necessity of that leper who is down on his knees crying out in that moment, beseeching God, you know, after he's been healed for a year, hey, this is normal life now. Normal life before was, I'm without hope, I'm going to die, there's nothing else can happen, desperation. But after he's healed, how quickly we can forget what Jesus saved us from. And that leper, if he wasn't careful, he could find himself 6 months later following Jesus around, and another leper comes to Jesus and asks for healing, but doesn't. He didn't get on his knees. I don't know if Jesus is going to heal this guy. When he did it for me, he's not really serious. Why isn't he on his knees? He didn't say it the way I said it. Why would Jesus save him? Oh, I know this guy. We used to be in the leper group here together. You don't know the way he treats his family. Jesus isn't going to... That's silly. I know it's a little silly. But in our hearts, it's easy for that to happen. If your relationship with God stops at that moment of salvation or that moment of victory, and there's 5-10 years in between those victories when we have to come to God seriously and we have to plead God and we have to humble ourselves and we have to acknowledge He has control and power in our lives, it's very easy to switch over to the group that just finds fault in everything else. Remember where you were when God found you. Remember what state you were in when God called you. Remember what was your home when God began to draw you in. Remember, like this leper needed to remember, man, if Jesus hadn't been there, where would I be today? That takes work. But then we get to the last group. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1, if you're not there. I don't remember where I sent you last. Mark chapter 1, verse number 43, and straightly charged him. Jesus is speaking to the leper after he heals him. And forthwith sent him away. What did he charge him? What did he tell him to do? And saith unto him, See thou say what? Nothing to any man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Jesus tells him, go your way and don't tell anyone what happened here. Don't tell anyone. So what does the man do? And he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. He went and he told every single person he could find. Pastor Russo was sharing the story of just talking with Brother Tyler. And as he came back, he said, I told the attendant. Well, you told the attendant. Why would you tell the attendant at the parking garage? And she was rejoicing with me. I'm like, oh, good. And he's publishing it abroad. And then I told the lady at Starbucks. And I said, well, where's my pumpkin latte if you went to Starbucks? And he said, I didn't go to Starbucks. And I said, yes, you did go to Starbucks. He said, yes, I went to Starbucks. And she didn't respond quite the same way. But when Jesus changes your life, and you are, and I say converted just because it starts with a C, God really changed, I should say the changed. God really changes you, amen? He really saves you. He really gets a hold of your heart. You can't help it. Everybody's going to find out what's going on. This man, this leper, he didn't... There's another story where Jesus healed some lepers. I remember that story? How many came back? How many were healed, first of all? 10. How many came back to thank Jesus? I don't believe those numbers are in the Bible on accident either. There's plenty of people that, I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven. I need help with my marriage. I need help with this. I need help. I need Jesus. But as soon as that problem's solved, they can stay there. Christian, let's make sure we're not part of that group. I remember once, I have a little daughter who's perfect. Her name is Lydia Beatrice Seatman. Amen. Oh, is she in here, Lydia? Oh, praise the Lord. And when she gets excited about something, she cannot, there's no way for this to stay shut. As soon as the other day, they spent some time with Tia Shannon, and as soon as they get back, she bursts through the door. Hi, Lydia, how are you? Tia Shannon, blah, 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 blah. And I couldn't talk for the next 5 minutes. Because all these exciting things happened to her that day, and she had to share every single one of them. It didn't matter if I'm saying, okay, let's calm down, it's time to get ready for dinner, let's get our bed. But I have to, and she has to share everything that happened to her. There was another event that happened in my life as a child. And if you've ever been to my dad's house, you'd walk through the front door, and there were stairs that go up, amen, and there's an open area up there where we had all our homeschooling material and our books, and there's a little balcony there, and it overlooks the living room slash used to be the fireplace room. So it's open for two stories on one side, and on the other side, stairs with a railing. And my mom left for the day, and me and my older brother, who was a good example to me in all things that I should do that are correct, one of us had the idea, and it might have been both of us, hey, what if we piled all the pillows under the railing on the first floor, and then we jumped off the balcony onto the pillows? But we had a problem. Lee and Seth were there. And they were little kids at the time. And we said, they were like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Like, well, you guys can't do it, but me and Rick can do this, right? Mom's not here. But you have to promise us that if we jump off this balcony, and you know where I'm going with this, you're not going to say a thing. You promise? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we got all the pillows. We got the couch cushions. I mean, the mountain of stuff almost touched the first floor. We had so many pillows on that pile. No way we're going to get hurt. I might be telling the story wrong, but I think Rick made me go first too. And we jumped, climbed over the railing and jumped off onto the pillows, and nothing, it was fine. We hit the pillows, yay, it was fun. We both went, it was fun. Okay, let's pick everything up before Mom gets home. You're not going to tell, right? Oh, no, that was cool, I'm glad you guys did that. And we had a thing when we were homeschooled that when Mom came home, it was time to get back to work. Amen. That was just the rule, because normally when she was gone, we wouldn't be working. And our driveway winds a little bit, so you have, 45 seconds. And she started to pull in, and we see the car pull in. Okay, I'm going to get back to work. You're not going to say, no. Someone runs out the door. I don't know if it was Lee or Seth. Uh-oh. The other one runs out the door. Seth's going to say it's not him because Lee's not here, so of course it was Lee, right? Mom comes up the sidewalk, and she's not looking too happy. They couldn't help but say, as soon as they could see her, I have got to tell her, break my promise. He was told not to say it, and this reminds me exactly of this story. I'm sure this man, we did get disciplined with love that day. Amen. That's another story. Amen. This man, I'm sure, Jesus said, don't tell anyone. He turned around and there was a guy there. Did you just see what Jesus did? And he gets to the next guy. You remember me, right? I was a leper. Look at me. And he keeps going and throughout town. And I don't know how Jesus responded. If he just said, ugh. But he knew what was going to happen, amen. And this man couldn't help but tell everyone why. Because Jesus had changed his life. He felt the call of God. He begged God, heal me. Jesus healed him. And he knew, this is completely different than it was before. Christian, as you get a little further away from that day when Jesus saved you, or maybe after salvation, Jesus gave you victory in some area, man, keep that relationship going. There was a group of people in the Bible who, after God called them, after God saved them, after God healed them, they were changed. They were truly converted. One who comes to mind, Jeremiah 20, verse 9, then said I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was worried with forbearing, and I could not stay. When God gave him the word, he couldn't help. He said, I don't want to preach anymore. Jeremiah, if you don't know the story, he spent most of his life in prison because every time he preached, they throw him in jail. He said, I'm done. But he couldn't help it. It was like a fire in his heart. He had to share the word of God. Paul, let's go to Philippians. We're going to end here. Philippians chapter 1. Paul was willing to suffer greatly for the cause of Christ, because he knew that God changed his life. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. I like this first part. Not only to believe on him. Oh, Lord, I want to believe. I want to be saved. But what comes next? But also to suffer for his sake. As much as God is giving us salvation, Christ is also offering, you're going to suffer with me. He told the disciples while he was here on the earth that they were going to suffer for his name's sake. Paul was willing to suffer. Verse number 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. His whole life was dedicated to the work of God. Chapter 3, verse number 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may what? Win Christ. If Christ is glorified by what I'm doing, nothing else matters. There's people who need to be saved. And God's waiting to save them, amen? God is calling. He's got lines out there all over the earth. He told the disciples they were going to be fishers of men, and he's got a much better fishing pole than I do here, amen? He knows how to get a hold of people's hearts if we'll come to him. I believe that, well, that's a different message. I'm not going to go there, amen? We need Christians who are praying, who are witnessing, who are going out. Because God's trying to call, and he needs laborers out there in the harvest, amen? But God just doesn't want to save us. That's step one. He does want to save us. Who's here already saved? We're just getting started, amen? That's why right after salvation, we start discipleship. We start following up. Now what do I do? Now that the leper is healed, what do I do now? He had the right idea. I'm going to go tell everyone I know about Jesus Christ. Christian, what are you doing now? Because God's drawing, God's calling doesn't stop at salvation. It doesn't stop with a victory over a trial in your life. It's always there. And if you could still feel God tugging on your heart, if you can still feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost, you still need to respond. Whether he's saying to you, brother, that's sin, you've got to get it out. Whether he says, no, you're walking down the wrong path, time to turn around and come back to me. But he says, oh, that anger that pops up in your heart, that's not the fruit of the Holy Ghost. That bitterness you feel, get that out of your life. Why are you focused so much on these things of this world? God is still drawing us. Because as James tells us, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And that verse goes on. Anyone know the rest of that verse? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I like the first part. Hey, if I draw nigh to God, he's going to draw. What's he talking about? Getting your life cleaned up. That's not just being saved. That's what comes after salvation. God's still calling. That story about Donna, it's a real story. You can Google it if you want. I know it because I just follow All Things Fish. But they were asking her, what were you feeling in that moment? The ship's rocking. She said she was soaked from all the waves hitting the back of the boat. The weather's kicking up. It's getting worse and worse. 4 hours. Yanking, letting reel out, trying to bring a little bit in, yet and reel out. They said, Were you tired? Did you feel like you had to quit? She's like, I didn't even notice my arms and legs till after. See, I was so excited about what was going on. I was fine the whole time. She said her biggest fear was spooling the fish. That it would pull and pull and pull and pull and pull and pull. And all of you know fishing terms like I do. Spooling means that there's nothing left. It's pulled all the line out of the pole and it's gone. When God starts to call, whether it's you need to be saved, whether it's, hey, I'm here to help you, or whether it's, let's cleanse our hearts, sinners, or it's, I got a job for you, go publish this abroad. Christian, let's not get further and further and further and fight God and fight God and fight God and later and next time and maybe in another year, maybe out until there's no more line left. And God says, okay, how about you? You want to serve me? That one's gone. If there's someone in your life who needs to be saved, keep praying. Lord, show mercy. Lord, give him more time. Lord, reel him in just a little bit closer today. Lord, help me to be a part of it. Use me in some way. Use somebody else. If you know you've got sin in your life and you're heading the wrong way, you're fighting God. If you can feel those little tugs still, he's still trying to get a hold of you. Now's the day to take care of it. Amen? God is still calling. He's calling the sinners and he's calling the saved. And every one of us needs to respond. Now let's please bow our heads, close our eyes. I'll ask Pastor Russo to come up and close the service.
Let's all stand. Whatever it is that the Lord has touched your heart about tonight, you know what he's trying to do. He felt the tug at your heart. Sometimes we get frustrated with the Lord because circumstances in our life aren't changing, but we're not changing anything. When God is calling, we're going the opposite direction. We're not making a move. Why don't you come tonight and start the process of getting closer? Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now. Lord, I pray that you'd help those that are struggling, that have denied your call. Lord, I pray that you'd give them another opportunity. Lord, I pray for those that Maybe something was revealed to them tonight. I pray that they would come and see the benefit of just getting closer to Thee. Lord, we love You and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message we heard tonight?